Well, it's a privilege to be here again with you all today to be able to minister the Word of God. God is good, and God is good all the time. And we praise Him and thank Him that we can be here at this time. The last time I ministered the Word to you was, I think, in June, and we looked at that time at the first verse in Psalm 23. So we want to continue that study of that psalm. And if the Lord makes it possible for me to come back in the future, the Lord willing, we'll continue with our study of Psalm 23. And it's good to read the whole psalm every time. And we trust when we're done with it, you will all have memorized this whole psalm. I know it's a familiar psalm, but still often we may hesitate in certain sections of it. But the beginning, of course, is easy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not have lack of anything. Or the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not lack anything. And it goes on then by saying, it is He who maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, observes that sheep will not lie down unless they are, first of all, free of fear, secondly, free of friction, thirdly, free of flies, and fourthly, free of hunger. And I like to rephrase that last one to full of food. You all like to eat, I know. Who doesn't? We all need to eat, don't we? And so do sheep too. But before we look at these four points in more detail, let me ask you a question. Who makes sure that the sheep are free of fear, free of friction, free of flies, and full of food? Obviously, the answer is, it is the shepherd who makes it possible for the sheep to lie down, to rest, to relax, to be content and quiet and flourishing. So the shepherd plays the important role there. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He, the shepherd, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And it is He, the shepherd, who leadeth me beside the still waters. So we want to look first of all then at the green pastures. Green pastures are unusual in the Holy Land, as we shall see. But let's look first of all at that phrase, free of fear. Sheep are very timid animals. They're also in many ways stupid animals. Dumb animals, we might say. And even a small dog can cause a whole flock of sheep to run off in a panic. And again the question, who then protects the sheep from dogs and other animals that may come in there? And here again, Philip Keller observed, he says, nothing so quiet and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field, if they were watching for him. Because sometimes if he would go in the field, the still would still be in a panic, they would still be running. They were not watching for him. But once they observed that he was there, then they were reassured. The shepherd is here. Now we are okay. And in the Christian life, there is substitute for the keen awareness that my shepherd, now with the capital S, is nearby. As you know, life is full of dangers. Accidents can happen, and it doesn't take long for an accident to happen. Road rage becoming an increasing problem. earthquakes, drunks, drunk addicts who may attack you, rob you. Today we may have terrorism, as we saw another terrorist attack in England yesterday. You know, these things are going on. These things are happening. So life is full of dangers. And it is the unknown, the unexpected, that produces the greatest panic. We worry. And remember that worrying doubles trouble. Most of the things we worry about never happen. We ask somebody, why don't you come and visit us in Australia? Oh, no, no, no. I'm fearful. I won't fly. Maybe my plane will get hijacked. Maybe some terrorists will blow up the plane. People live in fear. But we know that our shepherd is there. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I need not fear. The good shepherd is there at all times. David says in Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So the Lord is there. We don't need to worry. God will take care of us. But the sheep, they must be free of fear in order for them to lie down in these green pastures. Not only free of fear, but also free of friction. And it's interesting, and again, I am no shepherd, but having read, I understand that there is a butting order among sheep. Generally, it's an old ewe, an old female sheep, that will be the boss of any bunch of sheep. And this ewe will butt out of the way other sheep to get to a place of shade or to go where the food is. So an older ewe, an older female sheep, butts the other sheep out of the way, you know. And Philip Keller observed here again that when he appeared and the sheep noticed him, that the sheep would stop their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in the behavior of the sheep. When he was there, everything was all right. There was no fear, and there was no friction among the sheep, because they knew they'd better behave when the shepherd was there. And you know, when you look at it, in human organizations too, whether it's a business firm, offices, even in families, and for that matter, even in churches, there's often an ongoing struggle as to who is the top sheep, or sometimes they use the term the top dog. Who is in charge? People want their rights, and they insist on their rights, and there is much discontent. In contrast, the picture here in Psalm 23 is one of God's people lying down in quiet contentment. And here again, Philip Keller had observed that the less aggressive sheep, not the ones that always insisted on their rights, not the ones that are always butting the others out of the way, but that the less aggressive sheep were often far more contented. They were more quiet. They were more restful. And there's a lesson there for us. Godliness with contentment is great gain, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Godliness with contentment. Be content. And Paul also says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And the author of Hebrews says, be content with such things as you have. So that quiet contentment. Not always wanting your rights. I want my way. I want my right. I know that this is what I want. No, be satisfied with what you have. God, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the loving shepherd, the caring shepherd, the guiding shepherd. He leads us, and we do not have to worry. And so we see that the Lord provides, and the sheep can lie down in green pastures because they're free of fear, they're free of fiction, and they're free of flies. Flies of various kinds and other insects, by the way, can be a real problem for sheep. Instead of lying down and resting, they will stamp their feet and shake their heads to get rid of the pest. Lord will, we'll talk about this in more detail in another message. But the point is that it's the shepherd who applies the insect repellent and does his best to relieve the sheep from their tormentors. And so the sheep are free of flies. Flies aren't very big. They're small little creatures, but they cause lots of problems. And in the Christian life, there are many small irritations, things that, let's say, bug us. Could be a red traffic light. You're trying to go somewhere, and then all of a sudden the light turns to red. Why do I have that red light? Or somebody who steals your parking spot. You've been looking and looking and looking. Finally, you see a space, and as you get there, somebody else pulls in. Ah, you thief. Are they really stealing your parking spot? You know, the wrong order when you get home from fast food. You know, you go there to the drive-thru. You pick up your order. You don't check it right, and there you go home. And they got home. It's the wrong order. There are so many little things that bug us, that trouble us. And I'm sure you can add other things as well to add to that list. We cannot handle these problems on our own. We need the Lord to help us. We need the shepherd to help us to be free from flies and other insects that may trouble us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." The good shepherd gives us his peace. And when we trust the Lord, he will give us a quiet contentment. And we're able to lie down in peace and rest. And then the last one, free of hunger or full of food. Now the land near Bethlehem was brown and dry. It's been my privilege to be in Bethlehem twice. And the mission home that we were at, flat roof, go to the top and look out. And being there, we have seen a shepherd leading sheep there. And we have seen the countryside. It reminds me of the Australian countryside, a sunburned country, brown, not much green that is there. Green pastures, of course, were essential for the ewes to have lots of milk for the lambs and then for the lambs to develop properly. So there is water needed. And we'll talk about that as we come, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." But there's only green grass if there is water. So for the believer, the picture of the people of Israel leaving Egypt and entering into the promised land is a picture of us moving from sin into the life of overcoming victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ works to clear the life of the rocks of stony unbelief. He tries to tear out the roots of bitterness. He attempts to break up the hard, proud human heart that is set like sun-dried clay. Then he sows the seed of the word, which, if it falls on good ground and is allowed to grow, will bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But the sheep need to be free of hunger. They need to be full of food in order to be able to lie down in the green pastures. And so the psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." In other words, he wishes to see his sheep satisfied and well fed. My shepherd desires my best interest. He desires to serve me. His concern for my care is really beyond my comprehension. But let us thank him for his providing the green pastures for those who care to move unto them and find peace and plenty. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. So he provides. It's because he is the good shepherd, the providing shepherd, the caring shepherd, that we can lie down peacefully. It is the shepherd who makes it possible for the sheep to lie down, for the sheep to rest, to relax, and to be content and quiet and flourishing. A good shepherd wishes to see his sheep satisfied and well fed. My good shepherd, the Lord, desires to serve my best interest. He provides peace, and he provides plenty for my needs. But in addition to food, the bodies of human beings, and animals for that matter too, need water to survive. The body of a sheep is about 70% water. And if the supply of water drops off, the sheep's body will be affected. The animal will become weak. And thirst indicates that the body needs water. Now, we tend sometimes to wait till we're thirsty before we drink. But we should actually drink before we get thirsty. Because if we wait till we get thirsty, we're already starting to get quite dehydrated. But we need the water. And the problem is, if the sheep are not led to good, clean water, they will often drink polluted water. They will drink dirty water, and as a result, they will pick up internal parasites. They will get sick. But it is the shepherd who leads the sheep beside the still waters. So it's important there. And the souls of believers can only be satisfied by the Lord himself. He said, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He said in Revelation, "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And again in Revelation, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. To drink in spiritual terms means to take in, to accept, to believe. But do we really know where to go to quench our thirst? People of the world drink from polluted pools to try to satisfy their thirst for fulfillment. David knew that the shepherd alone knows where the clean, pure water is that will satisfy the sheep and keep them fit. Generally speaking, water for the sheep comes from three main sources. The first source is dew on the grass. And it's interesting that sheep can go for weeks, sometimes even months, if it's not too hot, without actually drinking. And that is, if there is a heavy dew on the grass each morning, the sheep rise early. They rise before dawn. And when that time is when there's the most dew on the grass, and they stay fit with the water from the dew. And then when the sun comes out, the dew, of course, evaporates. But it's at that time then that the sheep will lay down in a shady place. They're refreshed. They're relaxed. And they're totally satisfied. I didn't realize that till I studied this, that sheep actually can get by without drinking if there is dew on the grass. I think there are other animals that do the same. But the dew is so important, and it provides for the sheep. But notice, in order to benefit from that dew on the grass, the sheep have to rise very early. They rise before dawn. They rise in a sense when it's still dark. And in the Christian life, it is in the quiet early morning hours that the believer is led beside the still waters where they can drink the very life of Christ for the day. For many believers, the quiet time in the early morning hours has been the secret of the success in their spiritual life. Some people have a saying, no Bible, no breakfast. In other words, we need to feed on the Word of God before you feed on your toast and eggs and cereal. Well, some people disagree with that. But it's certainly a good thought to keep in mind. Early in the morning, that's when the sheep got the dew and benefited from it so much that they actually did not to actually drink. And it's good for us as Christians to go early to the Word of God, to be fed spiritually. So keep that in mind. The dew on the grass. Sadly, many people will search for satisfaction in their work, in their studies, social activities, travel, movies, nightclubs, alcohol, drugs, sex, what have you. And at the end of the day, they are still unsatisfied. Only Christ can satisfy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so the first source of water for the sheep is the dew on the grass. A second source is deep wells. Wells of water. I can remember as a boy with my high school going for a camp. And this was an annual activity that our high school organized. and we would go camping in Belgium. And those campsites that we stayed in, they had big tents. I think they had three tents, one for the boys, one for the girls, and one for the leaders. I'm not sure if that is correct these days politically. You know, everything has to be together today. Rubbish. Vote no. All right. We need the truth of the Word of God. But I remember the campsite because there was no running water. There was a deep well. And if we wanted a drink, we had to let down the bucket and you got to make it go with the splash. Otherwise it would just float on the water deep down in the well. But you got to make it so it falls over, catches the water. And then we had to pull it up and we had water to drink. We had the water to brush our teeth. But it was all bringing up the water. And sometimes our physical education teacher was running the camp. His wife did the cooking for us. And she'd say, I need water for cooking. Go and get some for me. Well, we would go up to the well and get the water for her. I remember visiting in the Holy Land where Pastor George Awad, one of the Arab pastors there in Bethlehem, and they decided to take the young people. It was a children's camp we had that week. They decided to take them for an all-day swim. So they took them to an area where there are good swimming pools, the area of Nablus. And Nablus was known in biblical times as the area where Jacob's well was. Jacob's well in John chapter 4. You're familiar with the account of Jesus meeting with the woman at the well. Well, we went there. And we went to see the well that supposedly was the well from John chapter 4. Whether it was or wasn't, well, that's always a question of debate. But even if it wasn't, it certainly gave us a good indication of what the wells were like at that time. And I remember it was almost kind of like a ruin of a church building. And we had to go down. And then we had to go down some more. I can remember going down several times. And then we finally came to the well. And they also had a rope and a bucket. And they'd let the rope down and pull up the bucket with water. And they had one cup there. And all the kids drinking from the same cup. I didn't think that was a good idea. So I said, no, thank you. I'll decline water this time. But otherwise I do. There's a cup of water underneath the pulpit. I know that's what is safe to drink. But I did not want to drink for I don't know how many hundreds or maybe thousands of people had drunk from that cup there. But it was a deep well where the water was. And Philip Keller was a shepherd actually in Africa. And he mentions also they had the deep wells there. And it's hard work to let down the bucket, the rope, pull it up, then take that and pour it into the trough for the sheep to drink, because it is not just one bucket. You had to do a number of buckets, number of times, pulling it up, you get sore arms, and fill it up. It was only through hard work and sweat, and sometimes I suppose tears as well, that the owner or the shepherd could find enough water for the sheep to be satisfied. But that was the second source of water. The first one was the dew and the grass. The second one, the deep wells. But then the third source of water that the sheep would have would be springs and streams. In the Judean hills, there are springs and streams with refreshing water. The shepherd, of course, he knows the area. He knows where the water is. He knows the places. And he leads the sheep there. But he also knows that the waters cannot be very fast flowing. Because if a sheep would put its head in the water, and the water was fast flowing, the water would catch into the fleece, the skin of the sheep. And, you know, we want sheep to have wool, besides mutton steak. But they want the wool for clothing. And if the wool was long, the water would catch in there. And the sheep would actually become top heavy and would fall into the water. So that's why it says, you know, he leadeth me beside the still waters. It cannot be fast moving water because the sheep would fall into the water. And then either the sheep would drown or the shepherd would get pretty wet if he could manage to get the sheep out. Because sheep tend to be heavy. So there was quite a job for him. So the shepherd knows it must be still water. And he would go there. So he knows where the water is. He knows where the good water is. And he leads the sheep to this water. But as they were traveling there, there would be pools of water sometimes. And the sheep were impatient. They didn't want to wait till they got to the good water. And they would see the little puddle of water along the way. Oh, here's water. Let me drink. And that would be bad water. And the sheep would drink from this muddy, polluted pool of water. They didn't want to wait for the good water. But that little puddle of water they saw would often make them sick. You know, and sometimes people are like those sheep. They do something they shouldn't do, and they dismiss it with a comment such as, so what? You know, there's water, let me drink it, so what? They don't think of the consequences of their actions. I can't see it's going to do any harm. But there will be a delayed reaction. And the full impact of what they have done will become clear months or sometimes even years later. And then they are in big trouble. And they wonder, why am I in trouble? What did I do? It was what you did way back then that caused the problem. David says in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's hard to wait, isn't it? We don't like to wait. The red traffic light, hurry up, change, I want to go. Looking for a parking space, hurry up, somebody, please leave. And then you see somebody going into their car. Ah, finally, somebody getting there. And then they're only putting their groceries in because they got more shopping to do. So they walk away again. And you get so frustrated. Wait, I say, on the Lord. His time is best. God has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into truth. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He is our paraclete. One of those fancy words. It's a Greek word really transliterated to English. From para and kaleo. Para means alongside. Kaleo means to call. A paraclete is somebody who calls alongside you to help you. Afterwards, when I go down, I will probably need a paraclete. Somebody to help me down the steps. It's easier to walk up the steps than it is to walk down the steps. You know. That's why I brought my donkat, my walking stick, for those of you that don't know the word. So I can go down by myself slowly, one step at a time. But we have a heavenly paraclete. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. He is called alongside to help us. And it is the Lord, the Good Shepherd, who provides the green pastures and the still waters so that I may feed and drink. He will refresh me, and He will satisfy my needs day by day. He is my shepherd, and I shall not lack any good thing. That's the wonderful thing. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not have need, because it is He who provides. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He makes sure that I am free from fear, that I am free from friction, that I am free from flies, that I am free of hunger. He has provided all these different needs for me. He provides the still waters for me to drink. As Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. He leads us. And thank God for leading us. Let us follow His leading and go in the way that we should go. For He is my shepherd. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the guiding shepherd, leading us, guiding us, strengthening us, meeting all our needs so that we can lie down in green pastures, totally content, for Thou hast provided all our needs. We thank Thee for providing the still waters, the things that our soul needs. We thank Thee, Lord, for the spiritual food, the spiritual drink that we have in the Word of God. Help us to read that Word. Help us to meditate upon that Word. Help us to memorize that Word and make it part of our daily lives, so that we indeed know that we have a good shepherd guiding us day by day. For we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.